into three different passages in the New Testament, beginning with Romans chapter 4, verse 11 in Romans chapter 4. Each of these deal with the subject of the sacraments, which is what we'll be looking at this evening. Romans chapter 4, verse 11, just one verse, and then we're going to turn forward to the book of Colossians. But hear now the word of the Lord. Speaking of Abraham, Paul writes, "He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well." Now turn forward to Colossians. I actually have a mistake there. It's Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Where we see the connection between circumcision, or the transition between circumcision and baptism. Paul articulates here, again, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 2 of Colossians. "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." And finally, keep turning to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, and we'll begin our reading in verse 21. Very, very startling comment by Peter concerning baptism. Let's again hear God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." Please bow with me and let's seek the Lord's blessing on his word tonight. Our Father, we do humble ourselves before you and before your word. And we pray that you'll teach us and instruct us in the way we should go tonight, that we might come to a greater maturity in our faith and an understanding of the good things that you have given us in Christ. So, Lord, we wait upon you. Please be working by and with your Spirit and your word tonight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we consider the important subject of the sacraments. And if you're going to take notes, I'm going to make some comments concerning the sacraments pretty quickly and rapidly this evening. Beginning, first of all, with just the basic comments, which most of you know, but I don't want to assume really anything tonight, and that is that there are just two New Testament sacraments, and those are baptism and the Lord's Supper. These two New Testament sacraments actually correspond to the two Old Testament sacraments, which were circumcision and the Passover. In other words, and as we think of the parallels, each Testament had what we might call its initiation rite into the covenant community. And each testament had its covenantal meal, a celebratory meal. In the Old Testament, the initiation rite was the one-time bloody Jewish practice of circumcision for males only. In the New Testament, the initiation rite is the one-time, non-bloody, universal practice of baptism, which is for both males and females. In the Old Covenant, the covenant meal was, again, the bloody Jewish commemorative meal of the Passover, which was to be celebrated just once a year. In the New Testament, the covenant meal is now the non-bloody, universal meal of the Lord's table, which is to be celebrated frequently by the church. Often. Both of the Old Testament sacraments were, again, both of the Old Testament sacraments were instituted directly by God through either Abraham or Moses. And both of the New Testament sacraments were instituted directly by Jesus and then made known to us by way of his apostles. But what exactly is a sacrament? Furthermore, coming off of a few sermons that Pastor Tabaka gave, and considering how glorious and how effectual the Bible is, we might, and I think we can legitimately ask, why do we need them? Why would we need the sacraments if the Bible is as good as we've been hearing that it is? And for what purpose has God given them to us? Well, let's begin first off with a consideration of the relationship between the sacraments and Scripture. The sacraments and Scripture. It was St. Augustine that termed, and this is a very helpful way to think about the sacraments, it was Augustine that termed the sacraments visible word. Visible word. And that terminology is helpful for us in that it tells us something extremely important about the sacraments and what that is and what's so important to grasp in that little way of referring to the sacraments as visible word is that in the sacraments, it is not us who is speaking. God is speaking in the sacraments. They are His word. He is saying something to us. We are not specifically saying something about ourselves. Too often, it is thought that the sacraments are our profession of faith. They're the way that we make known to the world my faith. But the sacraments are God's word. He is speaking in them. He is the one who is saying something. But what part do they play and what relationship do they have to the Scripture? Well, they are, and we're going to look at this a little bit more in detail here in a moment, they are what we call signs and seals of the Word. We're going to unpack that in a minute here, but they're signs and seals of the Word. In other words, the Word that is preached is the when the Bible is preached, when we think of the Word, the Bible is the Word of Christ. We could summarize it as it is the good news from God. that He has provided salvation for sinners, that He will forgive us of our sin. He will count us righteous in Christ if we will repent and we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacraments serve as signs and seals of that truth. That is, and this is another important thing, the sacraments do not give us any new revelation. They're not telling us anything other than what we already read in the Bible. They're not a source of new revelation. God isn't bringing a different word when He speaks to us by way of the sacraments, but rather they come as confirmations of His word. They symbolize and they seal the truth of His word, what He has already told us in the Bible. Now, let's unpack these two terms here just a little bit. And let me remind you, in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, that's where we get this terminology. When Paul is talking about circumcision and how it was given to Abraham, he says he was given the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. And so that terminology, signs and seals, is not theological jargon that we've made up. It's actual biblical terminology. Now, when we talk about the sacraments as signs, we are meaning that by some sensible sign, is how our shorter catechism talks about it, some sensible sign like water or bread or wine, by some sensible sign, a truth is represented. For instance, the gospel tells us that the blood of Jesus was shed and His body was broken for us so that our guilt and our sin would be washed away, so that we could be cleansed of our iniquity. We are called also in the gospel, we're called to live each day, not in our own strength, but we're called to live each day by faith in Jesus Christ. We're called to be constantly resting upon His finished work. We're called to be drawing strength from our union with Jesus Christ as we battle the world and the flesh and the devil. So these are things that were taught in the gospel. Well, the water of baptism, among other things, but the water of baptism symbolizes that cleansing. Water's the most universal cleansing agent known to mankind. It's what we use to wash things with. Water symbolizes the cleansing blood of Jesus, or it symbolizes the washing of the Spirit as He makes us new. Bread and wine, basic staples of sustenance. The bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper symbolize the nourishment and even the joy that we have in Jesus that came at the cost of His death for us. And so the sacraments symbolically represent spiritual truths to us. That's what it means that they're a sign. They're a symbol of something, some spiritual truth that we can grab hold of. Well, when we talk about the sacraments as seals, we are meaning that, and this is where the terminology comes from, we're meaning that like the signet ring of a king, when he sends out a declaration to assure the authenticity of that message. And we've all seen the movies, you know, where he would roll up his message and then he dips his ring into the wax and he puts that wax seal. You hear the word. He puts that seal on the message, which authenticates the message. This really is from the king. And that ring guarantees the content of what's there. It is really true. The king, because his signet seal is on it, he stands behind the content of that message. the promises that are made, whatever it is. Well, the sacraments authenticate the message of the gospel, and they help us to believe that it is true. In other words, think about it. A husband can tell his wife over and over again that he loves her. But he might also give her something very tangible, that she, like a ring, that then she can have as a token of his love, which she can look at and say, yes, I've been hearing him, but look, he gave me this. It authenticates and it seals that love. Or some of you kids might resonate more if you're a young boy and your dad says, I'm going to take you to the basketball game. And you think, oh, I'm going to a professional basketball game. That's too good to be true. No way. And the dad pulls out the ticket for the game and he gives it to you. And that kid, as he's anticipating going to the game, every time he disbelieves in his mind, I can't believe I'm going to that game, he can pull that ticket out and he can hold it in his hand. He can see it. He can actually smell the ink, whatever he would do. And he can be assured by it. I'm really going to the game. That's how the sacraments relate to the scriptures. It's not as though, and this is an important point we have to understand, it is not as though the Word of God is deficient or somehow it's not really true. It's not that the dad wasn't telling the truth, but it just helped the son that he gave him that ticket. It's not that the husband doesn't really love his wife, but it just helps to give her that ring. And it's not that God's promises in His Word are untrue at all, that His Word is somehow deficient and not able to communicate that well. Guess where the deficiency is? The deficiency is with us. We don't understand the sacraments largely because the gospel has become blasé to us. We are no longer floored by the truth that God would forgive all of our sin and He would count us righteous in Jesus Christ merely for believing upon Him. That is too good to be true. That news is too good to be true. And so when we struggle with our own sinfulness and we struggle with, could the gospel really be true? God gives us things by which we can hold on to them. We can feel them in our hands. We can smell them. We can taste them. We can feel them in our mouth. And as real as that wine is, or as real as that water is when it touches the skin, that's how real God's promises are. That's how true the gospel is. Well, we can say more about the sacraments, but let's stop there and consider next this evening just a second point that I want us to consider, and that is the sacraments and salvation. The sacraments and salvation. As Protestant Christians, we believe, and listen to me carefully, we believe that we are justified before God, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And as Protestants who believe that, it might seem a bit scandalous to read in our catechism that the sacraments can be effectual means of salvation. Indeed, maybe more importantly, is that we grapple with and we have to deal with the fact that Peter says in no uncertain terms there in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism saves you. Baptism saves you. And so what is the relationship between the sacraments and salvation? Are we actually saved by them? Well, the provocative answer to this question is, yes, you are. And that is why it is so vitally important for us to understand the place of the sacraments in our salvation. The sacraments are effective means of salvation to us, and therefore we must come to understand them and appreciate them much more than we do. Now, let me try to explain this briefly. The reason that the scriptures say that baptism saves us, and the reason why our standards echo that very language of scripture, and they confirm that the sacraments are effectual means of salvation, is because, and this is, if you were here a few weeks back, we talked about this briefly. It's because salvation is a bigger work than just the one part of salvation, which we understand as justification. In other words, the biblical package that we are given in Jesus Christ by virtue of our union with Him, we are more than just justified. We are justified. We are adopted. We are sanctified. We are glorified. All of that comprises our salvation. All of that is what is involved in being saved. Sanctification is the process of becoming conformed more and more into the character and image of Christ. Sanctification is an ongoing work that begins the moment that we are forgiven, the moment that we are counted righteous in God's sight, the moment that we have been justified. Our sanctification begins and it continues on until we are finally and fully glorified in heaven and with the Lord forever. But as Peter says, if we were to go back into chapter 1 of Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, by God's power we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last day. In other words, we are being saved right now through faith. We can talk about our salvation in one sense. If we're talking about justification, we can say we have been saved by faith. But if we bring into the picture the notion of sanctification, this ongoing work, we can also very biblically say we are being saved through faith. God is bringing us to glory and He is preserving us by His power through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last day. In other words, I can tell you directly and on the basis of the Word of God that you walk by faith. You must persevere in faith to the end or you will not be saved. But God has given us the sacraments as one means for strengthening our faith. The sacraments have been given to us to build us up and to strengthen us and to nourish us in grace and faith so that we will keep on pressing on and we will keep on moving toward that upward calling in Christ Jesus. Every time we see a baptism, or every time we reflect on our own baptism, or every time that we come to the Lord's table by the blessing of Jesus Christ and by the working of the Holy Spirit, we should be being built up in our faith. Again, visible word. Why do you come to church? One purpose, not the only, but one purpose is to hear the Word of God again so that your faith is strengthened, so that you're nourished, so you're built up. That's exactly what the sacraments are for you. To build you up in your faith, to strengthen your faith so that you'll keep walking in faith, you'll keep persevering to the end because you are being saved, you are being guarded through faith for a salvation that will be revealed at the last day. That's how the sacraments are made effectual to our salvation. And that is how they relate to our salvation. Again, we will look at some of these things in more detail when we look at each of the sacraments individually. When we take and we look at just what is baptism and what is the Lord's Supper. We'll look at this a little bit more, but that's enough for this evening. As we conclude here, let me underscore two final matters that are absolutely critical in our understanding of the sacraments, which are really, and I hope that they are for you, they are applications for you tonight. Having heard these things, you need to begin to work these things out in your own lives concerning your participation in the sacraments. Two things. The first is you must always remember that the power is in God alone. When it comes to the sacraments, the power is in God alone, just like it is with the audible word. In other words, the power of the Scriptures is not in the binding of this Bible. It's not in the typeset of, it's not in this physical book right here. I used to have a very magical view of the Bible. Just the very presence of the Bible seemed more like a talisman and a magic item. That I used to hear stories about people who had little Bibles in their pocket and they got shot and in the New Testament stopped the bullet. This isn't bulletproof, and this is not this binding in these pages is not where the power resides. The power is in the Word of God, which is made effectual by His Holy Spirit when it is read and it is preached. Furthermore, the power is not in the preacher. It's not in the one who says these words and who conveys them, but it is, again, only in the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word Himself, and His Spirit, as His Spirit applies these truths to your life. Well, so too with the sacraments. When you come to, let's say, the Lord's table, you are, and if I'm the one who is up here administering them, you have a God-given obligation to look past me to Christ. There's no efficacy in me, and there's no efficacy in that little bit of bread and that little bit of wine. The elements are not magical. They are just bread. They are just wine. It's what they represent. It's the truth behind them. And the Holy Spirit makes that true to you. And He brings that and He applies Christ to you by way of our participating in the sacraments. And so the power is in God alone. It is not just in the doing of the thing. It's not just in going through the motions. It's not just because you've had water put on you. It's not just because you've had a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. In fact, this brings us to the final matter that I want us to take heed to and hear soberly. The sacraments are only effectual to believers. The sacraments are only effectual to believers. Nowhere does the Bible, and therefore reflecting it, nowhere do our standards speak of the sacraments saving us without faith or without belief. I put the catechism questions on your bulletin outline this evening. I'd like you to look at that for a minute so you don't get lost as I'm reading along. Look particularly at the final words of question 91, or the answer to question 91 and the answer to question 92. I'm going to go ahead and read these, but notice the final words on both of those too. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? Just what we've been talking about. The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. To believers. Which are the sacraments of the New Testament? The sacraments of the New Testament are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Let that sober you. Baptism, let me speak to every one of you who have been baptized. Your baptism is worthless. And your baptism will not save you if you do not have true faith in Christ. Your taking of the Lord's Supper, it will not nourish you spiritually. It will not strengthen a faith that is non-existent. The sacraments are for believers. They must be received and acted on in faith. Both of them, your baptism and your coming to the Lord's table, they call for belief, even as they also build us up in our belief. They build us up in our faith. And therefore, you who have been baptized, you who have been coming to the Lord's table, you better be trusting in Christ. You better be walking by faith. You better be believing the gospel, or else not only will the sacraments be worthless to you, but the sacraments will actually be damning to you. A stricter judgment will come upon those who play like they are part of the covenant. Those who participate in the privileges of the covenant, which baptism and the Lord's Supper are privileges of the covenant, but who really have no interest in it. And so just as the gospel, when you hear it preached, just as the gospel is a call to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, so too the sacraments are a call to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. Let us all leave here tonight with a renewed love and a renewed faith in Jesus Christ and a new appreciation for the sacraments. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask you to forgive us for trifling with the things of God. We ask you to forgive us for coming in an unworthy manner when we have not been discerning the body and blood of the Lord. We've been going through the motions thinking that somehow it'll just do something to us with no regard that we must receive Christ by faith. Indeed, O God, when we hear your word preached and we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, may we receive it each time by faith. Thankfully and joyfully receiving it as the goodest news we've ever heard, and intending to lay even more steadfastly upon Jesus for our salvation, to have our lives lived for his glory and under his lordship. Father, please renew us in our appreciation for these two sacraments that Christ has given to us, our baptism and our coming to the table together. May we truly benefit from them both, being nourished and built up in our faith, even as your word preached does. May your visible word, these sacraments, build us up in our most holy faith, and may our lives be different because of our participation in them. Lord, I pray these things tonight in Christ's name. Amen.